Hi, I'm Dr. Megan McIntyre.
And I'm Dr. Maggie Fernandez.
And this is Everyone's Writing with AI Except Me, a cheeky writing studies podcast about refusing generative AI in higher education and writing studies specifically.
This is our first episode. So today we're going to talk about why this podcast exists, why we're doing our best to refuse generative AI in our classes, and what we want for the future of this podcast.
All of the articles and texts that we talk about today will be in the show notes, so feel free to follow along.
So this podcast exists because we've been having a conversation about AI hype and teaching for going on 2 years now, that we haven't yet seen emerge in the public conversation in writing studies. It's all been in the text between us two. From the beginning, two main positions, in my opinion, seem to have like related to generative AI emerged. This is the future, and so we must adapt. And two, this is the end of academia, and so we must stop it. We must police. And I think we've felt out of place with that. We feel like we occupy a middle territory that refuses adoption as much as we can with all the integration happening. And we don't want to police. I'm too tired to do all that, frankly. We want to refuse this technology on the grounds that it's destroying the planet and it's rooted in the exploitation of global labor and intellectual property. And it's a huge threat to linguistic diversity and linguistic justice. And I think that these are important topics in writing studies. This is kind of my understanding of the field, at least that these are things that are important to us. But in the nearly 2 years, these conversations have been largely absent. It's happening on Twitter to some degree, more and more every day, I feel. But it's not showing up in CFPs, in special issues, in newly published research, except in rare cases. I can think of two pieces that talk about ChatGPT and language diversity, for example. Carmen Kennard published a blog post, I think titled When Robots Come Home to Roost, and Alfred Al Owusu-Ansah's recent piece in composition studies that talks about the erasure of marginalized Englishes like Ghanaian English. And like those are the only two that I can think of on that topic.
Yeah, to be totally frank, I feel a little crazy in this conversation. Like, are we the only ones talking about how the AI hype and AI inevitability cycle is overtaking the kinds of critical skills we've honed as academics? To misquote Ken from the Barbie movie, isn't our job literally just question? Where is the skepticism with which many quarters of our discipline treated new ed tech tools like Turnitin, especially the ones that invite increased surveillance of our classrooms and our students?
So this is our first episode, and so maybe it's too soon to like share a hot take, but I kind of feel like that skepticism that you're asking for, I'm not really sure what it means to be skeptical of generative AI anymore. When talking about critical AI literacy, I've seen people cite Maha Bali's definition, which speaks to the need to be critical and skeptical of these tools and their outcomes, and to think very carefully with students about when and when not to use these tools. That's the definition that I like that definition, and I was really like grateful to have that like definition when I was teaching a grad class on digital cultural rhetorics last spring. But that definition kind of only works if we're open to both choices of like when and when not to use these tools. We can choose not to teach with these tools. But like, are we really being critical when we experiment with tools that overconsume resources like ChatGPT-4 does? Are we really being skeptical when we play with generative AI outcomes to test bias that research like Sophia Nobles has long confirmed for us? I feel like that's not being skeptical. That's like pretending to be skeptical or like performing skepticism. Maybe that's too much of a hot take. And like, to be clear, like I love that definition from Maha Bali. I just don't know how well it's being like taken up, or if it's being taken up as she's kind of shared it.
No, I'm totally with you. And I guess to a certain extent, this podcast feels a little bit like a chance to reclaim some of my agency in a conversation where I constantly feel like I'm being told that teachers have no choice but to just accept things. It's inevitable after all. I just don't think that's true. Like, maybe there's some inevitability. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we lose. but not trying seems like a terrible choice. I think we have choices. I think we have agency. And I think even if the inevitability arguments are right, that fighting back against, as Maggie has already said, a planet-destroying technology is still a good fight, especially when that tech also erases linguistic variation and whitewashes languages in ways I find deeply disturbing.
Yes, yes to all of that. I really struggle with the inevitability argument because there's no real counter argument to it unless we do things differently. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Totally.
if we're all teaching it, of course it's inevitable. And so, like, I've been talking with my students about labor and intellectual property and algorithmic oppression, and I admit, like, it's tempting to play around with generative AI. I can imagine all the cool assignments. I'm reading the cool, like, assignment ideas that people are putting out there about, like, how to play with it for peer review, how to play with it for brainstorming. And it's tempting to play around with it, especially, like, when my students don't seem worried about it and, like, they're so thoughtful, and, like, I can only imagine my students doing, like, cool things with it too. But I haven't yet because they seem less worried about the ethics of it than I'd like them to be when we first start having conversations. And so that conversation feels important. And I don't know. I want to do other things in class. Like, I want to talk about Sophia Noble's work. I don't necessarily want to replicate the findings of her research. And I don't want to police students about it. And so I don't really want to, like, have the conversation about what's acceptable use, what's not acceptable use. I just kind of want to say, hey, this is what we're doing, and walk them through writing processes like I've always done. And I'm not policing. I ask students to cite it if they want to. I teach them how to cite it. I explain my expectations. I'm teaching other things, and that's my stab at staving off the inevitable.